Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 6 o'clock on Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
Dave Archer. Arch, thanks so much, and can't wait to see where this goes with our Falcons.
Has Mike got Becky mowing the lawn for him now he's a suburban guy, or is he actually going out mowing the lawn?
No. We got a guy.
I guarantee you, he's sitting in an Adirondack chair sipping on beers while Becky mows the lawn.
Hold on.
What's happening?
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Is that true, man?
It's exactly true.
You make her mow the lawn?
She just put together one of those, like, you know, you have, like, the all your pool deck junk you put into a giant, like, a storage unit. She picked up one from Home Depot, just put the whole thing together while you and I were talking about the Braves.
Wow. You know what? That's incredible.
I think a good couple, and whether you're married or not, like Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn, you and your wife, Michelle, you got to compliment each other. You know, again, so in my case with Becky, I do nothing around the house, and she does everything around the house. And it really works out perfectly for her. I skim the pool.
How is that complimenting her if she does
everything? No, I mean, I know. See, you take the other person has positives. You know, I'm good at talking on the radio and making a lot of money that it pays for a house, where she makes also good money with a career, but when it comes back to the house, she's better at doing everything to keep the house in working order, where I'm incapable of doing any of that. So to me, that's a perfect compliment.
Mike, how is that a balance?
No, I mean, again, sometimes 90, all right, real quick, 95 plus 5 still equals 100. That's a whole. It's just if this was a pie chart, my contribution to the home would be a sliver. Yeah. I use an electric leaf blower to keep the debris off the driveway, and I skim the pool, and she does everything else. But again, together, it's a balance, Carl. It's a balance. Let me say that again.
Yes, that's terrible.
No, I'm being real with you. Anybody knows it. Again, she's putting stuff together. She's out there dealing with briars, and she's cleaning back the brush. So when the new fence gets installed by the fence guys,
what are you doing while she's cleaning back the brush? You're drinking a beer?
No, I went to the hardware store and I picked up the Bushmaster. I'm like, I'm here for the Bushmaster. My wife is going to be doing the Bushmastering. Hey, now.
Unreal. Hey, we got a lot going on today. I will say this, and if you missed any part of this show, it's a five-hour show, big show. We did learn today, which is fascinating, that our own John Fricke apparently turned down Katie Couric when they were young in their careers.
Yes.
And he started talking about this on the morning show. Hugh pressed him, and, you know, he didn't want to talk about it. But their producer, one of their producers, Oren, hit me up and said, look, here's the deal. They were both young. They were at CNN. I think she was a producer, editor. And one of her friends suggested that they go out. And John was like, no. So we've been having a lot of fun with this today. So if you guys listen to all of our shows, and we hope you do, and we hope you wake up in the morning with John and Hugh and listen to Andy and Randy in the middays before we come on, you'll probably hear them addressing this tomorrow because, Mike, I don't know, we may have talked about this for 10 or 12 minutes today.
Right.
Because, again, it goes beyond John. I don't want to get John in trouble.
It's a funny story.
I don't want to get John in trouble. Right. But also, I think that when you talk about, you know, bringing up old things, right? We call it old blank, right? Why do you want to bring up old blank? Women sometimes react in different ways. And so we don't want to get John in trouble, but it's one of those things. This is an interesting story. We are talking about Katie Couric. I wanted to know, Mike. I want to know more about it.
John Fricke had his tongue down the throat of America's sweetheart. I think that's some exciting news for our listeners.
He didn't say he did that.
Like, I know what I heard. I brought the pocket fisherman out. We had a picnic lunch over there by Riverbend, and when the time was right, I got to second base. And then that was a time in my life. It's a long time ago.
Oh,
before I met the Maven, and I was you know.
Yes, before he met her, and that's yes. The thing. I'm glad you said it. Before he met her.
Right.
You're allowed, I'm going to empower men right now. Men, you're allowed to have a life before you met the woman of your dreams right now. Okay? It's okay.
Right.
I mean women, and I'm not fussing at our ladies, but ladies always go, I don't want to know what happened in the past. And then you go, okay, what happened in the past? And then you tell them what happened in the past, and then when the past comes back up, why are you talking about the past?
No, I mean, it's like, and again, for guys that are new to the show, I've told this story on the radio, I think, 2 or 3 times to Carl, but I'll make this the brief version of it. You know, again, I've dated women that have dated NFL players, or, you know, I've been, you know, it is no big deal. I just think if you're confident in yourself, you just roll with it, and that's it. You got the rap, and you're with her now, so who cares? I did work with a guy in Washington, D.C., when I worked at DC 101, and I won't give his name out, but he works in radio in Miami in sales. Carl knows the story, Chris. There was a guy named Purvis Ellison. And for our younger listeners, Never Nervous Purvis. What was he, like 6'11", Carl, from Louisville?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, and yeah. So
great
one night, I'm bartending.
Great player.
I used to pick up bartending shifts when I was starting out in radio. And I was working at Sign of the Whale in D.C. And he calls me up all like hammered one night. He goes, can you meet me at the diner in Chevy Chase? I go, for what? I got to ask you questions. Because I had a press pass and I would go to Bullets games. Eventually, I had Bullets tickets. Remember, we joked around about that with Charles Barkley the other day, how terrible the Bullets were. But even Charles and those guys would play in those games, right? It was before guys opted out for load management. It all comes together.
Because they were so bad, you just took a night off.
Right. But anyway, I go to meet the guy at the diner. I go, what's the big holdup? And he was a short guy. I mean, shorter than me. I'm 5'8 in heels. He's probably like 5'5". But he goes, you met Purvis Ellison? I go, yeah. Is he really big? I go, yeah, he's like 7 feet tall. No, you know what I mean. I go, I don't go in the locker room and look for that. He goes, they played Truth or Dare. What are you talking about? Him and his fiancée-to-be played Truth or Dare one night. And it was like, who's the most famous person you ever hooked up with? And she apparently went to Louisville and hooked up with Purvis Ellison.
Yeah, it happens.
And my guy was so traumatized. He had performance anxiety, and they broke up.
Yeah. Bust that home run egg.
With that, let's get to the top three. I can't tell you how many women that I was friends with or that I knew that had relations with guys that you would know.
Right.
It happened. And I'm not saying that like when they were married. I'm talking about in schools and in college and just, you know, it's like, oh, well, things happen. That's why it's college. I'm with you, man. And so the guy, he ended up dating her, right? He ended up, did they break up over that, mm-hmm. by the way? Did they break up over?
Oh, yeah. I ran into her years later at a polo match in West Palm Beach. Needless to say, I didn't have the same kind of issues as far as performance anxiety.
Unreal. All right.
Well, I mean, after like 4 or 5 Bombay Sapphires, you know, all of a sudden having some fun.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I was about to say something. You know what? Don't worry about what the last
no,
guy
check,
did.
I don't blame.
I'm
check
just
that.
Saying.
Who cares?
Really?
You're there now. Who cares?
That's the point.
I mean, my father, and like, I got to be honest with you. When you're starting out in radio, again, like any other job, you're starting out in your career. You don't have your confidence yet, or maybe you don't have your footing. You're insecure. I've been there. We've all been there. You know, and then you realize what an idiot you look like. Don't be the jealous guy. Like John Lennon sang it. You know, just have fun. Be confident in yourself. She's with you, for crying out loud.
Now, this story was originally about John Fricke and his alleged attempt or her attempt at him. We're talking about Katie Couric, and that's why Mike was telling this story. But that's really what, you know, we were talking about, why, because guys were killing Fricke, by the way, on Twitter, like, why would you not even consider it? You're in your early 20s. It's Katie Couric. And he's like, yeah, we're making $8 an hour. I understand, you know, and what you are now may not be what you will be. Hell, did he know she was going to be, like Mike said, America's sweetheart on the Today Show? Did he know she was going to be making $5-6 million? Who knows?
Right.
But either way, man, Fricke, we love you, dude. Just can't believe that you turned it down. All right, top 3 and 6 brought to you by New Realm Brewing Company. Company's Hoptropolis IPA, Tropical Allure, Juicy Hop Bliss. Pick up Hoptropolis IPA wherever you get your favorite beers or at NewRealmBrewing.com. All right, first and foremost.
I tell you what, shoot a shot. Nick Charles would shoot a shot at CNN back in the day. I bet you he wasn't going to have that compulsion to not turn down America's Sweetheart.
Well, they were all single and young.
Right, why back not? In the day. You think Van Earl Wright would not shoot his shot?
Van Earl Wright.
You don't shoot his shot? I'll tell you who'd shoot his shot with Katie Couric. You don't shoot his shot?
He's Jerome Jarenovich. Yeah, yeah. What up, Jerome? All right.
Big hands, big feet.
All these guys are going to be clowning us. They're going to be like, really, we heard y'all. All right, man, let's start with the Hawks. Injury update on Trey. Trey went on the jump on ESPN earlier today. This is what he told them about the injury.
Yeah, thankfully I have my ankle braces on. It definitely stopped it from going and twisting a little bit more. And I thought it could have been worse. But it feels a lot better. It's still sore. I'm getting an MRI here in a little bit to see if there's any more. But a lot better than what it felt in the moment, for sure.
So he's saying any more. He's talking about any damage.
Right.
So...
But he had time to do TV. Look, just because you're on TV, you can still go and be wheeled in to do some television. But, he's banged up. Trae Young is out for tomorrow's game already in Miami. Our Tanitra Batista just tweeted that out. DeAndre Hunter still out. Cam Reddish still out. Waiting to see. I still don't even know what Chris Dunn's game is, Carl. Gallinari is going to be questionable. Tony Snell is doubtful. And Capella, and I'm surprised if Capella plays, and you'll need him because that's another physical team that gets to the basket. Capella landed awkwardly on the small of his back last night. When Derrick Rose kind of pulled his foot out from under his.
Another beastly game for him. 25-20 boards, by the way. I mean, it's one of those things that gets lost in translation because you're losing overtime. But just, again, he's grabbing 20 boards like it's a cupcake. I mean, seriously. You look up almost every night, you're like, oh, he's got 19. Oh, he's got 22. He's just killing it on the glass. We'll see where this goes with Trey. We'll keep you updated throughout the course of tomorrow and hopefully the weekend. And hopefully can get back on the floor fairly quickly. Let's hear a real quick Brian Snicker as we transition to the Braves guys. They are off today. Tomorrow, the D-backs come into town. Brian Snicker talking about Austin Riley. He was good last night. Home run, singled, couple of walks. Right, Snick?
Yeah. No, he's hit some balls good. And, he has some good walks today. And then, to get that, bust that home run egg has got to make him feel really good. So. Hopefully that's the start of something really good for Austin.
And again, for those not following the drift, Austin had yet to hit a dong or a round tripper, as Carl likes to say. And he went yard. Again, not a tape measure shot, but that's Yankee Stadium. And we'll take it. Now, look, the funny thing about that inning, the one I was telling you earlier, I didn't like the fact that they bunted the runner over. I'd rather see them kind of create the big inning. But I guess when runs are at a premium, they were just looking to expand that lead by one. But, yeah, Austin, you had like two of the worst Texas League hits you've ever seen to create that situation. But they were able to capitalize. And luckily, Ozuna legs out what would have been a double play ball, and they get that extra run.
Yeah, it was – I just want his confidence.
And then Riley went yard later, yeah.
Yeah, I just want his confidence where it needs to be as far as feeling comfortable at the plate. He talked about his approach. I want you to listen to this real quick because I think this is important. You know, as he's going through this with Kevin Seitzer, who's the hitting coach, obviously Freeman, but Chipper Jones is there trying to help, bring him along. This is Austin Riley on his approach at the plate.
Particular about, what I swing at. Going in there – having a plan and executing it, whether it's, I feel like they've been, painting a lot of pitches and I haven't been chasing. And I think that, puts me in a spot to where, I'm able to barrel a ball up when they do, mistake over the zone.
So let's hope that continues. Braves, D-backs tomorrow. Hey, a couple of NFL news notes, Mike. The biggest thing from the owners voting on some of the new rules that they'll implement. Some of this stuff, guys, is just for a year. They'll see how it goes. Where the NFL missed the boat, though, Mike, and forget about the numbers and the single digits and the onside kick.
By the way, Tom Brady going bananas about the jersey numbers thing. Let your linemen wear the jerseys you want. But I guess that's a quarterback just, acting like he's looking out for his guys. But he was reacting to that on social media today.
Yeah, man. I didn't get that. I get where he's coming from, but I didn't think it was a big deal. But where the NFL missed is this replay stuff. Coaches have been pushing for an added eighth official to each crew, assigning them to a stadium suite. We've talked about this.
Right.
To give us those additional eyes to help with getting calls right. And I just think that until we get to that point where we've got the Sky Judge and all of that, Mike, I know they expanded it a little bit, but it's still not what it should be.
No, it's something you and I talked about with the Ravens. The Ravens said, why don't we have a real-time official that's above what you've already got? So immediately, so hey, no, guys, you missed something there. Do you agree with me, though? Why don't we put those guys, you know what? If it makes them feel more comfortable, they can wear the silly outfits, too. Put them in black and white stripes, and they can sit up there in the suite. But I would think if you rotated those guys so you make them feel like they're actually part of the crew, so 1 week you're on the field, you're the back judge, the next week you're up top. Carl, to me, it comes back to like the same nonsense with the umpires. It's almost like they never want to show up the guys on the field. And what is this about? We all want to win, but there's big money bet on these games every freaking week, and we still can't fix this thing the right way. And Rich McKay can say all he wants, with all due respect, Rich, it doesn't make any sense. It's a half measure.
It is. It went there, but they didn't go all the way, and it's just the tip, Mike. Lots of references this
That's
quarter
a
hour.
Filthy, filthy show today.
So the replay official can weigh in on like penalty enforcement and proper down and spot and foul and game clock or possession. And, you know, again, there are certain things, but then there are certain things they can't. And so that's the problem. But I just put that out there as we talk about these new rules, and we'll be talking about them as the season gets going. That's the one area that really needs to be completely overhauled and adjusted is getting the officiating right.
And you mentioned this earlier, just real quick in a nugget, Rusty Harden, who's representing Deshaun Watson, says some of the plaintiffs in the case, Carl, have been destroying or altering evidence. Remember I told you, what if some of these women are semi-pros and not licensed massage therapists who would have a legitimate beef if Deshaun Watson was sexually harassing them?
Yeah, man.
What if these women have been paid for sex before? And that's exactly what Rusty Harden is intimating with his comments to the television station Fox 26 today.
We'll see where this goes. Some of these women now saying, not some, I think 11 or 12 have said that they are willing to be present because they feel like they were called liars. So this thing, it's ongoing. And again, we're watching it unfold. Hey, when we come back to where it all started. What are we talking about? Stay right there.
This is Brandon Tierney with a CBS Sports Minute sponsored by Cordell and Cordell, Fair Divorce for Men. Visit dadsdivorce.com. Well, how many times have you heard this? Coaching doesn't really matter in the NBA. As long as you have a couple of superstars, you're going to win 50, 55, 60 games with your eyes shut. Everything else is rather immaterial. But is it? Look around the NBA this year. Look at some of the circumstances and the stark turnarounds. How about the New York Knicks? You finally get a coach who preaches discipline and demands defense, and they've got their longest winning streak since 2014. How about the Hawks? They fire Pierce. They elevate McMillan. Boom. They can't lose. Doc Rivers. Look what's happening down in Philly. And even Tyronn Lue with the Clippers has changed things there. So if you play hard and you play a modicum of defense, you can steal games when the other team's not ready to mix it up the way you are. And the coaches I just mentioned, they're doing it. I'll be thinking.
Hi, this is Joe Cordell with the law firm Cordell & Cordell. When the prospect of divorce becomes a reality, you need a partner that you can count on. If you're a man in this situation, consider contacting Cordell & Cordell. We've helped men navigate complex legal matters for 30 years.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Atlanta area attorneys. 404-793-0000. Online at CordellCordell.com. 1 Glen Lake Parkway Northeast, Suite 975, Atlanta, Georgia, 30328.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The most important story of the day.
Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us today. And Carl, we will get him back in a bit, but he's had some digital issues today. So it's, as we like to say, Chris, my own show here on Dukes and Bell. And again, a couple of big stories today. If there's one that's kind of like where we've been going round and round with the Falcons about the NFL draft, and we kind of, it was funny because Carl and I, we always joke around about him being Nostradamus and making the big bold pronouncements. But he put me to it. Hey, man, we said a week out from the draft, you can only have one, so pick your guy. And it's funny because if you and me have been looking at the same stuff, Carl, talking about Justin Fields, I've noticed that if you look at the mock drafts and some of these, whether it's the media-driven mock drafts or some of the lesser websites, for some reason, he's falling down. And I know we talked yesterday about what was leaked yesterday, which obviously NFL teams had knew about his dealing with epilepsy. But I don't give a crap about any of that. I've seen him produce without that ever being a factor, and we never would have known about it unless some like weasel reporter decided to go with it a week out. He's my guy. He's the guy I'm going with. And guys are hitting us up on Twitter. Follow Carl at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes, and Mike Bell ATL. We went round and round. I went back to what I wanted back in January when I saw him beat the Clemson Tigers. I go, that's the guy I want at quarterback. Yes, Penei Sewell would fit a bunch of needs. Yes, Kyle Pitts would create mismatches. I just don't think, Carl, we're fixing this team in two seasons. I think you might as well take the quarterback because, and Carl, I've gone round and round with Carl on this. Right now, and we don't know who's going to step up, but it's a weaker quarterback class next year. It just is. And if you watch the NFL drafts, cyclically, sometimes there's a strong year followed by a weak year, and I think next year is kind of a weak year.
I think sometimes, especially when it comes to these drafts, and by the way, we waited all day, and I wanted to hear what you had to say, and you know, it's great that I think it feels gives us hope. And I say that, and people are like going in on me. Oh, what are you talking about? I just think we've lost that a little bit here as a Falcon, right. You know, Falcon fan nation. I really do. I think the way these last three seasons have gone, as I pointed out in my blog that I wrote about this, you know, we need to know that as we continue to move forward, this is not about Matt Ryan. Take that, put it to the side. This is about, as we move forward, what gives me hope that we're moving in the right direction, guys? It starts and finishes with the quarterback. So, Mike, I have no issues whatsoever with you going back to where you started. What I was going to say is in this process, a lot of times we go, you know what? That's what I want. And then you get caught up in all this other stuff, and then you realize it's like car shopping. Go back to the one that you really felt good about the first time. Why'd you go look at all these other cars when you knew that was the one you wanted? So, you know, how does the general manager and the head coach feel about this? We'll find out next week. We don't know. I'd love to tell you guys that there's some little birdie out there that's going, yeah, man, Arthur Smith loves such and such. It's not really happening. So for us, what makes us better, not only, you know, for right now, but for the future? And, Mike, you said it. If you feel like, and a lot of guys feel this way, we've heard from you, I don't feel like Dukes and Bell, this team is going to make – the changes necessary to be a real contender next season. Well, then you know what? You go get your guy now. My only concern about this, Mike, and it's not even a big deal, because the coach has to come out and say, you know what? This is Matt Ryan's team, and we're going to go win with Matt Ryan, and we want our draft pick to learn, and he's going to do that, and we're going to compete, and that's it. And we start the season, and we see how far we can go and what we can do if you draft this quarterback. But my only concern is, I don't want it, if it's Justin Fields, I don't want him to sit two seasons.
Right. And I know that we joked around about it, but I wrote my blog with you, it dropped the same day. Matt Ryan is a class act. Carl just laid it out. It's not a reflection about Matt. We've had our chance. We've had our window. It didn't happen. And I know that I've tried. If you listen to our show, especially the Falcon Report, I've tried, and Carl jokes around about it, I've tried to convince myself that when I make those little like pronouncements that Chris loves to replay, we're never winning anything. It's going to take a lot, guys. We are a terrible defense. I know you love Grady. I know you love Debo. We're a bad defense. Statistically, we're a terrible defense. We might have gotten a little bit better against the run, fixing that. You're not going to fix that in one season.
And I want you to finish, but how bad was – I want you guys to think about this. How bad was the defense? The defensive coordinator fired himself.
Correct.
That's how bad the defense was.
Right. And then again, guys, I know, like, yeah, we can go back and time doesn't matter. It's water under the bridge. Arthur should have dumped Dan Quinn after 2018, but he didn't. Should have dumped him in the bye week in 2019, but he didn't. So here's our lot in life. We've squandered opportunity with a healthy Julio and Matt in his prime. Matt's 37 next year. I joked around about this with a guy at the gym today. It's like, if you love something, set them free. But who's going to take on Matt Ryan's contract at age 37 next year? I mean, beyond next year. I mean, after next season. So, look, our quarterback comes in. We got to re-energize the fan base. There is still a large fan base that loves Matt Ryan, and they respect Matt Ryan for all he's accomplished. And there's no arguing that. But it's not happening. It's just not. And I know that you guys want to parcel up. They want to break down Fields again. He's 20-2 as a starter, and I believe it's, 67-9 as far as touchdowns and interceptions for Ohio State. Did you not watch the Clemson game? Yes, Carl made the point 3 weeks ago. You do not have to go to a big school to be a star in the league. You know, Josh Allen's proved that. Other guys have proved that. But I just love this kid's game for the new look NFL of the 2020s.
What do you guys think, man? 404-741-0929. What's old or what's new? And what's old is new again. You know, really.
But by the way, are you with me, though, if we go back on Friday next week, a week from tomorrow, and it's Penei Sewell and we traded back, or it's Trey Lance, or it's Pitts? I'm not unhappy with any of those options, but I prefer Fields.
Yeah, and I'm not either, only because they all help us. How much do they help us immediately is the question. You know, and that's the part that I think Terry Fontenot's got to figure out, and they already probably have. I mean, hell, guys, we're 8 days away, 7 days away next Thursday. I really think, as we've said, as the weeks have gone by and you've gone through these pro days and you've evaluated everybody, that whiteboard that they've got in the office that nobody is privy to continues. The names continue to get smaller and smaller when you start talking about, if this guy's there, he's our guy. If this guy is there, he's our guy. And all of that is contingent on what the teams in front of us do. So if it goes chalk like we think it is, and then you go, you got three guys on your board that go Pitts, Sewell, and the best quarterback at four, then you got to make a decision, Mike. And who makes you better the most right now? And that's the decision that Terry Fontenot's got to make.
Right. And again, guys, I get it. We've also, if you've been listening to our show, we've covered, I mean, we're not joking around. We're not trying to like pat ourselves on the back. We have covered every single angle on this. You could trade back, but if you trade back, you've got to have the salary cap space. Unless we're going to have Carl, it would have to be an unbelievably earth-shattering cut on June 1st. You know?
Mike, it'd have to be Julio.
It'd have to be Julio.
Seriously. I mean, we can joke all we want. This idea, it's fun to talk about. But for everybody that says, oh, let's just go back and collect all these picks, well, all of that has to fall under your current salary cap. We're barely under the cap now. If picking at four, whoever we get at four is going to eat up all we have at cap, at the cap space right now.
Right. Okay. And so never won the Super Bowl with Julio.
So, I mean,
it's true. It's factually accurate.
You've got a budget for that. So when you start saying, all right, we're going to add all these additional picks, okay, well, just know you have to that has to be accounted for. And so come June 1, yeah, Mike. I mean, it's not going to be Oliver. You need significant money.
Right. I mean, and that's just it, guys. If you're going to – right now, what do we got, nine picks or seven, eight picks
nine.
On this? Nine. You've got to be able to pay for all this. Carl just laid it out. And so, look, I love trading down. But we went and we signed Mike Davis and we signed other guys. And, we, you know, again, I got no problem with that. You have to roster your special teams up. But Carl
by
just –
by the way, real quick, you can maneuver that by trading some of those picks – right, late in the
Correct.
Later rounds, some
Correct.
Of the compensatory picks, you can't move, but you don't have to pick all nine picks.
But you could move up. I mean, I also, and I, it's kind of funny because I said this, I tried to explain, it sounds like I'm like, you know, what the hell is this guy talking about? We could trade down and still move up. Trade down to accumulate the prime picks, the second and the third rounders. Use what you can, as Carl said, you can't trade those compensatories, and then move back up to check all the boxes. Look, if we can get a safety, a corner, an edge rusher, a backup, shoot, we need everything. I need depth. I need at least a guard and a tackle who might play guard to start. But if you can get all that in this draft, okay, I'm excited about that. But I still think fundamentally, guys, our defense is crap. It just is. We don't make plays. We don't get teams off the field. And again, Matt and Julio, for all the things they've accomplished, and Julio, where he stands in the record books, and he'll go to Canton, we still don't produce enough touchdowns. That's why when Chris plays that, I know it drives Julio fans crazy. Matt and Julio Ryan, at the end of the day, do not combine for enough touchdowns in the big moments. And that's been, unfortunately, that's the comedy or the tragedy or whatever you want to call it, the best of times, the worst of times.
Yeah, I'm going to say, and I said this the other day, and I'll probably say it throughout the rest of the summer, I think Julio's bound to have a good year, come back and have a great year. Now, is he going to play all 17 games? I said 17 because they added one.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll play 14. I'm going to give him a few weeks that I just think – now, I'm not talking about the bye week. I'm just saying I would say Julio's going to play 14 to 15 games. Now, if he plays all 17, Mike, it's a hell of a year, and he's been great, and we're rolling, and there's been no injuries and nothing to worry about. But the older you get in this game and you have all of these little dings and things that are wrong – it becomes hard to manage. And for Julio, say what you want. He's got a screw in his ankle, right? He's got all these little things that we've dealt with. Now, he's a warrior, and he's played. Mm-hmm. But as you get older and you're starting to play more and more, those are the things you start to worry about, and how do you manage it? Well, we already know this. And if you don't know this, Falcon fans, here's news to you. He doesn't hardly practice. It's just what it is. Now, is he going to have to do that with Arthur Smith? Maybe, to learn what he wants him to do. But Julio's a vet. You know, it's seven routes, a seven route. What do you want me to run? Mm-hmm. So – I don't know if they manage him any differently, Mike, than the previous staff, because on Sundays, dude shows up. But I do think you have to think about the health and how do we get through a season and have our top playmaker available at the end when we need him. That last, right, you know, 6 to 7 weeks where we're making this run. And I think that's been an issue. So I think Julio's going to have a good comeback year, but that doesn't mean that we're going to go to the Super Bowl. But right, come on.
I hope you're right. And the guy said to me, imagine Kyle Pitts and Julio. Yeah, it really requires an active imagination because Julio's getting older. And by the way, Kyle Pitts will be here to replace Julio Jones. That's his job. That would be his job. You might get him for a year. But let's be honest, if you're going that route, the dynamic playmaker that is going to create all these mismatches, but still, Carl, you take Kyle Pitts, yeah, I'm excited with that. You take Penei Sewell, you trade down. I don't know anything about Trey Lance other than he's got a tremendous upside, and that makes more sense to some people because then he'd sit behind Matt for 2 years. But if I'm picking, I'm taking Fields. I got to get this thing fired up again.
Unity night, guys. Matter of fact, tomorrow, as the Hawks continue to honor the life and legacy of Dr. King with the season's MLK Nike City Edition uniforms, matching court at State Farm Arena. The Heat are in town, and you can be there, guys. Grab your tickets at hawks.com/tickets. Learn more about Unity Nights at hawks.com/MLK. We got to get to the night's game winner, Mike Bell.
Hey, man, Jack is 84. Jack Nicholson's birthday today. We like movies, and we like a lot of movies that Jack is in. So you got a favorite Jack Nicholson movie. Is it a drama? Is it an action flick? Is it a courtroom drama? You can't handle the truth. I know we're going to get some of that. You got a favorite Jack Nicholson movie. That's tonight's game winner, 404-741-0929. I got mine, Carl. I'm going to go with some artsy-fartsy stuff with Jack.
Okay, and I'll tell you what mine is. It was my first experience really learning about him. He was already an established actor, but it was my real first experience, and it's one of my favorite Jack movies. It's up. We'll tell you next.
And the winner is...
Time to take the game winner on Dukes and Bell. Your last chance to sound off on today's show. So don't stink. Call now, 404-741-0929. Today's question.
All right, man. Jack Nicholson's for 84 today. And for our game winner tonight, your favorite Jack Nicholson movie. Pretty simple. And I know, Carl, that there's so many. And again, all different genres. And the guy's been one of those dudes. I would have loved to have seen him at a Lakers game. We got to meet him in 1994 into the New Year's Eve of 95, Carl, in Miami Beach at Bash Nightclub in South Beach. Tony the Mailman and I working at this club, bartending in Bash, and it was owned by Mick Hucknall from Simply Red. These were the guys that fronted it, and Sean Penn had a piece of the club. And Jack was making a movie with Sean Penn, so Jack comes in with, Laura Flynn Boyle. David Spade does this whole bit about how Jack Nicholson literally just stole his girlfriend right in front of him at a party in Hollywood. But anyway, so Jack.
What are you doing with a loser like that?
I didn't get to meet Jack, but he did walk by me, and he said to Tony the Mailman behind the bar, and they're like, well, we got some bourbon, we got brown liquor, whatever you want. He goes, whatever you're serving, that's what I'm drinking. So he could not have been nicer and made a very nice tip and then was out the door. But anyway, what off the top of your head, what's your favorite Jack Nicholson movie?
Shining. Scared the crap out of me.
Oh,
Shining.
Nice.
And it was my first introduction to – now, he was already a movie star, obviously, by then – but I was like, who is this guy? And then that's when I started paying attention more and more with Jack and his roles. Because obviously, Mike, what is he, 80? How old is he today?
84 today.
Yeah. So The Shining was in the mid-80s, right? I'm trying to think.
It was early 80s. Early 80s, yeah.
And I was, I don't know. Jeez, I'm a young kid. So I'm trying to think. When I watched that, I want to say I watched it with my sisters because it was the movie that was out at the time. And they were like all excited about watching it.
Right.
I don't know.
Anyways, 1980 it came out. So filmed in 79, came out in 80.
And I don't think I saw it, Mike, until like 83. I mean, honestly, I don't think we saw it when it came out. I want to say it was later that we saw it. And I want to even say it was on cable or something like that.
Right.
But that movie is the one because it was the first time I was like, that dude's freaky. He's scary. Who is that? And that's the one that really I remember. Now, obviously, he's had, as you said, the role that is everybody's favorite role in with Tom Cruise and A Few Good Men, but that's the one for me.
I'll go with Chinatown. Didn't understand it the first time I saw it because I was
good
a
movie.
Kid. But, yeah, Chinatown is one of my all-time favorites. Forget it, Jake. It's Chinatown. Hey, man, Jack's birthday. What do you got for your favorite Jack Nicholson movie tonight, brother?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, so my wife and I are actually starting to go through some of the older movies. And so the one most recently we watched was One Who Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Great movie. Right. Great story. And I've read the Kirk Douglas biography over the COVID shutdown. He had the screenplay for that for years, Carl. Wanted to play that role. Could you imagine that? And Michael Douglas, his son, produced it. And obviously, Jack, the rest is history. It was fantastic. But you think about it, man. So many, I mean, seminal movies. Easy Rider. See what the guy, I don't want to let the guys speak. But yeah, man, that's a good call. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Your favorite Jack movie.
Hey, man. Well, the caller before me just kind of stole my thunder because One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is just an absolute amazing film. And I got a second Carl with a close 1B would be The Shining because that movie was scary as hell.
It was. It really was.
Right. But there's so many. And there's another movie. Some of them are artsy fartsy, but there's one called The Last Detail. And if you can ever find it out there on, like, you know, Netflix or whatever, The Five Easy Pieces, which, again, I'm a big Jack guy, but that's early stuff. But yeah, you can't go wrong. Carl, Pritzi's Honor, where he plays the hitman with Angelica Houston.
Right. Yes.
Good
Pritzi's
stuff.
Honor.
Good, good movie. Call. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Your favorite Jack Nicholson flick.
Hey, man. I'm going to go with either the Joker in the Batman or the Crazy Neighbor in As Good As It Gets.
Sell,
that was funny.
Right, what was it? Sell crazy somewhere else. We're all stocked up here.
You know another good one, Mike, and I don't know the name. I'm trying to think. Hold on. It was the one with him and Morgan Freeman. What was that movie?
Bucket List.
What was it?
Was that Bucket List?
It was. That's a good movie, man. That's a good movie. I mean, I didn't think it would be, and I was just, again, like, sitting around one day, and it came on. I was like, oh, let me watch this. Jack and Freeman. Right. It was really good. Touching.
Hey, man. 60 years of movies to choose from. What's your favorite Jack Nicholson movie? It's his birthday today.
Hey, man. Who are you? I'm the guy that does his job. You must be the other guy.
Departed.
I mean, that's not his line. His line is, when I tell you to dump a body in the mosh, you dump the body in the mosh. Not where a guy from John Hancock goes to get... You get the idea. He was... Now, did you think it was too hammy? Because there's a lot of controversy about that. They thought he was too over the top in The Departed. What'd you think?
So what's crazy is you guys...
It's loosely based on Whitey Bulger, but it's an amalgamation of a number of characters in Boston crime.
So when they found Whitey Bulger, and if you don't know the story, dude was living like a normal life with money in the walls in California. Mm-hmm. But when they found him, and you got a chance to see him, Mike, it actually made me appreciate Jack's character even more.
Right.
Because all this stuff was like mythical, right? I mean, there were these old photographs and pictures of him, and... So the movie itself, I just think he went over the top because he probably thought that's what the character was. That's what he was. I had no issues with it. It's one of my favorite movies. I mean, you know, think about the cast in that movie. It's a great movie.
And again, the original was a Hong Kong movie. That's what's so amazing that, you know, you think that Scorsese took it and did a fantastic job with it. It's great. I mean, the ending, the payoff is fantastic.
Oh, boy.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for your favorite Jack Nicholson movie?
Hey, man.
Here's the first of the day, fellas. Nick. Indians.
Okay.
Missouri Breaks?
I think so.
Hang up, Chris?
I think you're right.
I think it's Missouri Breaks. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us?
Hey, man.
What's your movie, man?
Hey. So I'm 20 years old, but I mean, the best Joker is Jack Nicholas, but growing up in a household with an older sister and a mom, Something's Gotta Give is also a pretty good movie. I'm not going to lie with that.
Ooh. Right. That's
See,
true.
And that's the thing. He's shown his versatility. He's done the fun comedies. He's done the scary stuff. He's done the serious dramatic stuff. He's right. And that's the range of Jack, right?
Right.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I think you called him Jack Nicholas, but either way, we'll take it. Hey, by the way, I still think, and maybe I'm the only guy that likes this movie. I watch it every time it's on. I love the Hoffa movie that Danny DeVito directed. And I got to be honest.
When was that, Mike?
That was back in the early 90s.
Okay.
He plays Jimmy Hoffa, and let's be real. Al Pacino could have taken some lessons. Al Pacino's Jimmy Hoffa. I couldn't wait for that movie, The Irishman, to end. It was like, please kill him already. But Jack plays
92.
Yeah, he plays Jimmy Hoffa in that, which, again, if you hadn't seen it, it's a bit long, but Danny DeVito directed it. It's not bad. Hey, Matt, you're on the radio, bro. What you got for your favorite Jack Nicholson movie?
Hey, Matt, Carl, look at here. growing up in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, and like Gordon Soley would say, parts unknown, Alabama, I never liked no hippies, but that Easy Rider movie, that was a pretty goddamn good movie, man. And of course, the Joker. Roll damn time. We win it again, baby.
Yeah, you did. Can't argue about that. Can't argue about that. By the way, there's a scene, if you've never seen it, but if you go back and watch Easy Rider, when he smokes, I guess they get him high for the first time. And he starts they're obviously smoking real marijuana. That wasn't a prop. And Jack starts talking about, like, you see, the Mnuchins are living amongst us. And he ad-libbed this whole scene, Carl, about, that was George, the character, about how there's Martians living amongst us on Earth. If you hadn't seen it, I watched it about 2 weeks ago, but got to catch it. For younger guys out there, go, all these movies we're talking about, check them out. You're going
to
love them.
Got to give a little love to the movie Anger Management with Adam Sandler.
Another good one.
Not his best role by any means, but that is a very good movie.
Yeah. See, that's the thing, though. I mean, here's the deal real quick before we get to clearing our throat. When you have all these – I heard Eddie Murphy talk about this recently, Mike, because people were talking about, you know, Coming to America 2, and he was like, when you've done all these movies, everybody thinks every movie is going to be a success, and it's just not. So Jack's done – how many movies has he done, Mike? 150, 200 movies? I don't know. And everybody, every one of them is not going to be a success, but some of these movies, are kind of, they kind of get lost that how good he was in these small, lesser roles. I'm with Chris on that. That's a really good one, too. Hey, man, today's show always brought to you by our friends at Mimecast. You should trust Mimecast. They protect this show. They've been protecting this show when it comes to email compromise and all the things that can get you caught up, guys, you know, from phishing, all those things, business email compromise, the risk of ransomware. I want you to check out Mimecast, MIMECAST.com. That is Mimecast.com. Check them out. Hey, today, talking a lot about what Mike had to say at 5 o'clock. If you missed it, he said, hey, I want Justin Fields. A lot of guys going in on just that idea of, is this the right pick? Mike, I'm shocked. You've been saying all these other things. Here's one of the emails we got today. Great show, guys. I want Pitts, but I think we can do better and do more because of the coaching with some pieces. With that said, I'll be supportive of whatever happens. This is from Brandon. Mm-hmm. And he says, by the way, his movie for Game Winner is Jack and Batman. Thank you, Brandon. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of guys feel that way. You can't go wrong if you tell me it's Penei Sewell, if you tell me it's Pitts, because they're going to help our football team.
Right.
But if you're telling me what are we doing in the next 10 years, it starts and finishes with quarterback.
I'm with you. And I had a lady say, he's not going to put up Matt Ryan's numbers as a rookie. He's not going to play as a freaking rookie. I mean, no one's here
to give him a chance, too.
I mean, look.
Give him a chance.
Quarterback isn't our problem, says the person. No, we won four games with a quarterback last year. Okay. I mean, the defense is terrible. That's why it's just time to blow this thing up. That's why, to your point, Carl, we've gone round and round. We've covered every single angle. Offensive line with Penei Sewell. A game changer like Kyle Pitts. Trading down. What about a guy like Trey Lance? I mean, I'm not going to be unhappy if any of those are the options. I just think as a fan of this franchise, I need to refresh it. I need to spark life into it. I need to put fannies in the seats and make it a place to be again. And that would happen for my money with Justin Fields. That's why I said that today.
All right, man. Thanks to all of our guests today. Tomorrow, Big Friday Show, hashtag Dukes and Bell, tailgate at home. We'll tell you what we've got cooking. We'll have a lot to talk about coming off the weekend. But today was interesting, to say the least. Update on Trey, Mike, before we clear our throats.
Yeah, Mike Conti's got it from the Hawks. We're not going to see him against Miami. It looks like questionable for, unfortunately, Clint Capela, who landed awkwardly on his lower back against the Knicks.
So you're telling me no Trey, no Clint tomorrow, maybe?
Well, Trey is out, and Clint may be a game-time decision, it sounds like.
Oh.
And again, this is what's terrible. We're into the meat of the Eastern Conference, and the Knicks are on the come, and Miami's getting better. And now, Carl just said it, it's such a fine line from being the fourth seed or now in the play-in game. And let's hope that's not where we wind up.
All right, Miles Robinson joined us today from Atlanta United. Big shout-out to John Jastrzemski from New York. New York podcast.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
From the Ringer, talking about the Jets and the Braves and Yankees. And tomorrow we'll have more guests, guys. Of course, Charles Barkley makes his weekly visit by the show right at around 2:20. So make sure you're here. Chris, let's clear our throat.
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show, so it's time for Let Me Clear My Throat.
All right. Now, I will say this. Tomorrow, Chris might be checked out. He's taking some time off, heading down to the beach next week. So I don't know what we're going to get tomorrow, Mike. He may be playing sound all over the place. Are you going to be checked out on us tomorrow? I got to ask this question.
Tune in at 2 o'clock and see.
All right.
Bo Morgan, great job. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man, some big news out of Clemson, and it was a really big controversy there for a minute, Carl. They were, deciding, the university and the athletic department, that they were going to ditch men's outdoor and indoor track and field and cross country as varsity sports, all part of belt tightening we've seen around the country as a result of COVID. It all started with Stanford last year when they started to downsize nearly half of their athletic program. Well, a lot of people clapped back and said, that's just not right. Track and field has got a rich history in the ACC, and Clemson University, they announced today they will continue men's outdoor and indoor track and field and cross country. Football, let's be honest, Carl, it drives the bus. It provides for these other sports. Some people thought this was one of the wrong ways to go as far as belt tightening. But just to double down on this, last year, guys, when we didn't play sports and the big schools didn't get to play, the little schools didn't get to play. I happen to be good friends with a couple of coaches over at Berry College Lacrosse. I want to give a shout out to Coach Gilbert and also to Coach Byers. It's Kenny, Carl. That's Fireman Ken I used to share Falcon tickets with. They're in the lacrosse playoffs, by the way, in the SAA, Southern Athletic Association. They're going up to Kentucky. So we want to wish the Berry Vikings lacrosse team, who didn't get to play last year, good luck in the playoffs tomorrow afternoon.
My daughter used to, still does. She didn't do it last year, but she's gone up to camp up there at Berry College. Beautiful campus up there, by the way.
Right on.
Hey, man, Bubba Wallace, it's coming to Netflix. Yeah, they announced today they're working on a documentary series about Wallace in his first season racing for Michael Jordan, the brand new NASCAR Cup Series, and of course Jordan and Denny Hamlin. They didn't offer many details, not saying, you know, what the series is going to be called, what to expect, or even when it will be released. But I'm sitting here thinking, as much as I love the Formula One stuff, I probably will watch this, especially if they give us some behind the scenes access that we normally don't get. And Netflix does a really good job with these kinds of things. So we'll see. Be on the lookout, maybe in the fall sometime, for a Netflix series about Bubba Wallace and NASCAR. Hey, man, we're back at you tomorrow. Hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home. If you love the show, you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you're probably nothing better than a cheese-eating rat.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.